Father God, as we seek to better understand your word and your actions in our world, open our hearts and our minds to you. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. So last week, we heard the first sermon in our Worldwide Focus series. We looked at the end of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus sends his disciples out into the world in what we know now as the Great Commission. And as we heard it read again this morning, Jesus says to them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." We as Christians, we are commanded to make disciples of all nations. We learned that our application of that Great Commission should start right here in Poynton. We are called to tell others of Jesus, and in doing so, we will know him more. But it isn't just about sharing Jesus here. In seeking to make sure that all nations know Jesus, we, as a church, support missionaries working in other countries, in India, in Nepal, in Uganda, and, if you hadn't noticed, Argentina. I would like to use the reading that we heard this morning from the book of Philippians to look at Paul's view of mission and missionaries, to see what we can learn from his communication, his partnership, and his prayer. So first of all, Philippians is a letter. Paul has written this letter to the church in Philippi while he's in prison in Rome. He's writing to encourage them. He shares teaching about having joy in all circumstances, whatever their life throws at them. And he writes about unity. And later in the letter, he fills them in on his situation so that they know how to best pray for him. He shares his prayers for them, praising their faithfulness and directing requests to God regarding their growth in love. And he talks about the fact that he hopes to visit them soon. Paul first traveled to Philippi in about 50 AD when he established the church there. And then he visited them again a few years later to build them up further. Our support of Hugo Vergara, our mission link in Argentina, follows a similar model. We send and receive emails, encouraging one another with news of our activities, and we share prayer requests. We pray for him, for his family, his congregations and his ministry. We pray during Sunday services, at church prayer meetings and as individuals. And there have been a series of visits. During our long partnership, Hugo has visited us in Poynton on several occasions. And in 2012, as a church, we sent out a team to visit the diocese there in Argentina, in Salta and Tucumán. And now this week, we welcome a team from Argentina here to our parish with the aim of continuing to build our partnership and our churches. It is right to communicate via letters, as Paul did, or via emails, as we do. It is right to pray for one another. And from time to time, it is right to visit. Returning to Paul's letter, look with me at verse 3, which you'll find on page 209 if you closed your Bible. Paul, when he prays, thanks God for the Christians in the church in Philippi because of their sharing in the gospel from the day until now. A better word for sharing here in verse 5 would be partnership. A partnership in furthering the gospel. Since Paul founded the church in Philippi, the Philippians had provided him with practical support while he was staying with them. They had supported him financially while he was in prison. But more than that, they had shared with him in the work of spreading the gospel. Continuing Paul's work of telling the good news of Jesus to those around them, playing their part in the Great Commission. Partnership in the gospel is right, and there are many examples of that kind of partnership. The Anglican Church in Argentina was established in 1825 by English missionaries, sent out to serve British nationals living and working in Argentina, and also to share God's word with the indigenous peoples in the country who had never heard of Jesus or his saving grace. An Englishman named Alan Gardner founded a mission society that would later become the South American Mission Society, or SAMS as we know it. And in 1911, SAM sent its first mission to the Wichí people who lived in the region of the Chaco, in what is known as the impenetrable north of Argentina. The missionaries built this church alongside the Wichí. They taught practical skills such as woodworking. They helped with the construction of all kinds of buildings. And they shared the gospel with those they met, those they lived alongside. In 1922, the Wichí people, the first Wichí people, were baptized in the church in Misión Chaqueña. Several years on, and members of those Wichí communities began going out into other indigenous tribes too, sharing the good news of Jesus with the Toba and the Jorote. And then in the 1960s, the first members of the Wichí church were ordained as priests. And the church continued to grow in the indigenous communities in the north. As the partnership in the gospel grew stronger, more leaders were raised up from within the indigenous communities, and the missionaries moved south to establish churches in the urban center of Salta. St. Andrew's Church, that we visited as a team, and the home of the team that's here, was built in 1974. And that church, the Anglican Church in Salta, still works in partnership with those indigenous churches today, providing practical help in organizing church and community events, financial support through donations of badly needed materials, and in evangelism. This year, they're helping to run two camps for young people, sharing their understanding of Jesus' love with this population so far north that it's so often abandoned and forgotten. There are over 120 indigenous churches now in the north of Argentina, and that partnership continues to grow. And our partnership, the partnership that we here at St. George's have with the Northwest Argentina churches in Salta and Tucumán, our partnership continues to grow too. As a church, we've been supporting Hugo in his ministry prayerfully and financially for about 15 years. We supported him as he pastored to the church that he and his wife Techi planted in Tucumán. And we later supported that church during the period of construction of a new multi-purpose room. We supported Hugo in his ministry in Salta among the large student population, living close to the university, getting alongside the students, and supporting them in their practical and spiritual needs. And by supporting Hugo, we here have supported the ministries in his churches, youth, women, training, teaching, evangelism, and I'm absolutely sure we'll hear more about that next week when the team is with us. But in partnership with Hugo in the gospel, practically, financially, and prayerfully, we have worked together in the gospel, and we now seek to develop that partnership further. Finally, let's look back at Paul's prayer, for the Philippians, which you can see in verses 9 to 11. Paul prays that their love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help them to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ they may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Paul recognizes that the Philippians already have love, a love for Christ and a love for one another. But he wants that love to grow and grow, that it may come to overflow from them and from their community. But the love he wants for them is not blind. It is a love based fully on the knowledge of Jesus and of his teachings. And Paul prays that they will put their knowledge and their love into action, discerning the best way to act and to behave. In that way, prays Paul, each member of the church in Philippi will become a little more like Jesus in their hearts and in their actions. And this applies to us too, as well as to our friends in Argentina. We have love. Each of us loves Jesus and we seek to show love to one another. But that love needs to grow. We need to know Jesus more. We need to know what the Bible says about him and how we should act as his family. Enthusiasm is important, but that passion has to be based on Jesus' truth. We all have a lot to learn, be it about prayer, humility, confidence in Christ, right action. The list is endless, but whatever it is, our love, as it grows, should be Jesus-like and Jesus-centered. In applying the knowledge we have, in living out Jesus' love, we can also learn from one another. We can build on our strengths and correct our weaknesses. And we can learn from the strengths and weaknesses of others, building up the worldwide church in our partnerships together. And that's one of the reasons why the team of six have traveled so far to come and share with us, sharing their testimonies and teaching us about their churches, their passion for the poor and their passion for Christ. And while they're here, they will share in our church life and they will learn from us too. And our partnership in the gospel will grow. I do hope that you're looking forward to the Passion for Life events. As Rob mentioned earlier, there's the lunch for retired people, the Argentina-themed wine society, the messy, sweaty church, and the football competition. And of course, as we know, our Argentine friends will be sharing with us during the morning services and at the Bring and Share lunch. I do encourage you to come, but I do encourage you to invite family and friends as we share in our joint mission and share our passion for life. And so as we look towards our mission this week, let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be bold in our commission, to speak honestly and openly of you to those we meet. We pray for our partnership with the churches in the northwest of Argentina. We pray that Paul's prayer be realized in each and every one of us. We pray that by sharing our love, our partnership may grow. And we pray that together with our friends from Argentina, by sharing our passion for you, lives will be changed here in Poynton. Our lives and the lives of those who don't yet know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hang on, Joe, don't go. Little lesson on what you do if you encounter an Argentinian this week. All right, so just go and stand in front of the microphone, please. So they speak Spanish, and the three young guys, the younger guys, don't speak much English, although Danny and Flavia and Hugo do speak quite a lot of English. Good, we've got the names there as well.
Oh, Marcos lost his S. Yeah, I guess. Sorry about that. His name's Marcos, with an S on the end.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, in Spanish, you say...
Hola.
Hola, which is hello. Hola. And that you would classically, if you were going to Spain, you'd say Buenos Dias. But There's an Argentinian sort of dialect version of that, which is...
Buen dia.
Buen dia. Buen dia. Good day. Buen dia. So whoever you sat next to, just give it a whirl. Bit of an hola, bit of a buen dia. What else do we want to... Praise the Lord. We'll try praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
What else can we try?
Whatever you want.
Yeah. Are there any real Spanish speakers amongst us apart from Joe? Anybody out there? You might come in handy this week. Okay, let's try one or two other things. Praise the Lord. That's a good one.
Alaba al Señor. Alaba al Señor.
Alaba al Señor.
Is that right?
Yeah. What's alabanza?
Praise or worship.
Right, okay. But it's a different...
The verb alabar.
Yeah.
And the noun alabanza.
Okay.
So alabar al Señor and alabanza being worship.
So alabar al Señor. Okay, let's give this a whirl with our person next to us. Well done. Thank you for humouring me. But do give it a whirl. It's part of a welcome, isn't it? It's part of a welcome. In the north of Argentina, they feel a long way from the outside world, which is why there isn't so much English spoken up there. And so it's good that they've come all of this distance to be with us. You see them there? Gustavo, he's about 27, isn't he? Is he an engineer or something? Yeah, that's Gustavo. He's keen on football. Marcos, he's not so keen on playing football, is he? But when we went round Manchester City's stadium tour on Friday lunchtime, some people thought he looked like Aguero, so they wanted his picture. We called him Aguero's brother. So I just to tell a story about him, I was talking with him on Friday, and he told me that he goes to a village 14 hours north from where he is, right on the Bolivian border, and visits the village twice a year to encourage the people in the church. And it's a place that nobody else goes to, but he feels the call to go out and be with them. And a lot of this team do that sort of stuff in North Argentina. It's very impressive. So we can learn a lot from them. Marcos is 23, I think, isn't he?
Not sure.
Something like that. Off he goes. Great. So hopefully a bit of a taste. And let's get stuck in this week. Thank you very much. Can we do the creed? We got the words. Sorry, I know it's not on the sheet. Give it a whirl. This is Christian belief. It's the belief of Christians all around the world. Let's stand and say it together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit or kneel for the prayers. I think David's leading us.
Let's pray. Dear God, as we think about your global mission today, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who face persecution. We especially pray today for the church in Nigeria. Please would you keep your people strong as they face murderous threats against them. We pray you would help the government make wise decisions to protect all its citizens. We pray particularly for the schoolgirls who've been abducted. We pray that they will be found alive and well, and that you will overcome the evil schemes of man. Amen. And we pray for those